So what is the gospel? The gospel offers the sinner, the unbeliever, God's own perfect righteousness, which he can stand in and be in right relationship to God forever and ever and ever and ever.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Love Never Fails. Our study today is the conclusion to the message, What is the Gospel? From the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Now, Pastor Bill.
Jesus died for your sins, for my sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Listen, loved one, that right there, that's the good news, amen? See, the word sin, that is a terrible word, because that's what separates us or separated us from our God. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and he tells us why. For it, meaning the gospel, the good news, it is the what? It's the dunamis, the divine energy of God, the power of God to salvation. Watch this now. For everyone, but you have to do something, who believes. They have to exercise faith. For the Jew first, also for the Greek, which means to everyone. Now listen carefully. Number one, what is the gospel? Don't ever forget this. The gospel is the power of God, not our power. It's his power. Oh, and I think about that. Listen, it's not the gospel is not to be demonstrated by debate. It's not to be demonstrated by argument. That's not how it works at all. Listen, the gospel is demonstrated by what it does. When heard and believed upon in the heart, Jesus, be my Lord, save me. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? It takes a dead woman or a dead man, those spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, sold out to this world and not knowing it, under the dominion of the devil, not even knowing that either, bound for hell and they didn't even know that either. And it takes those who are dead, and what happens? All of a sudden, it makes you alive. You're changed. Everything in your life is changed. You know, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? That's what the gospel does. It's power. It's heard. Whenever the word of God is heard and believed, it changes a person's life. Whenever any part of the word of God is heard and believed, it sets a fire in a person's heart, and they know that God's word is true. Listen, the gospel is universal. It says to everyone, everyone. The only limit to the gospel is one thing, unbelief. I didn't receive. See, the gospel is to everyone who believeth. It's universal. And I'll tell you what's really great. I hear it all the time. Well, I'd come to church, but, you know, I'm afraid the roof would fall in on me. You know, where did that come? That's pride. Did you know that? I have to clean up my act before I get right with God. No, you can't clean up your act. You know, listen to me now. That's what the gospel teaches us. God doesn't ask men to behave in order to be saved. He says, I want you to believe, and then you'll be saved. That is what's so wonderful about that. It says that the gospel, what is the gospel? It is the power of God unto what? Salvation. That's a word for lost people. That's a word that says you need to be rescued. That's a word that says eternal damnation and hell awaits you. And God says, I love you so much. I don't want that. I didn't create hell for man, but for the devil and his angels. And listen, I want to deliver you from that. You know, Rome had a lot of power. He was writing to the people there, but Rome didn't have any power to change lives. When you come to Christ, talking about what is the gospel, this introduction, listen, when you come to the Lord as an unbeliever, and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord, God says, I'll save you if you really mean that. The moment you do that, you're saved. Amen? Okay. That is salvation. That's past tense. I have been saved. That's called the doctrine of justification. Present tense is I am being saved right this minute. That's the process we call sanctification, where we're being changed into the same image of our Lord from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit that works in our heart, meaning in the life of the believer. Amen? Then we have future tense. I shall be saved. That speaks of not justification or sanctification. It speaks of our glorification. Listen, I'm going to have a brand new body. I mean a brand new body. You know, I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to ache. I'm not going to, you know, listen, I had to have an MRI this week. And you know, they put you in this machine. And it's loud. You ever been in one of those things? Oh, hey. And so here's what the woman said. Well, you're going to be in there 35 minutes. I said, really? I said, what are you going to do for 30? She said, you're going to sit still. I said, don't swallow the wrong way. Don't cough. Don't move. I said, yes, ma'am. So I said, well, what I'll do is I'll pray for 30 minutes. Praise the Lord. And so they put you in a tube, and I'm claustrophobic anyway. You know, it's enough I can just be in this chapel, you know. And they put you in that tube. I closed my eyes. I wouldn't even open my eyes. Then they put earplugs in. Then they put something else on me. And so when all of a sudden that noise starts, I couldn't pray. I was cussing for 30 minutes. You understand? You know? Not really. But you know, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. But the reason I said all that is that one day I'm not going to have any of this. You're not going to have any of that. We're going to be perfect. We're going to be as our Lord is. And we're going to be forever and ever and ever. That's what the glorious gospel does. And the problem that we have in the Bible Belt today is that salvation to most people seems so easy. Just walk down the aisle. Just raise your hand. And, you know, it's all, and then it's okay. You're saved. No, it doesn't work that way. The church today, listen, we need to know what we are saved from. We're saved from. Well, we're saved from many things. We're saved from hell. We're saved from eternal death. Think about it. We're saved from eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. Our sins, oh, thank God we're saved. Our sins are completely washed away. But listen, there's something that's going on right now. If you're an unbeliever, if you've never asked Christ to be your Lord, listen to me very carefully. I want you to look at verse 18 quickly, because this is what we need to be saved from. It says, for the wrath of God is. Now, that's present tense, continuous. It means it's the wrath of God is, and it continues to be revealed or manifested. We'll really talk about that next Sunday. It says, from where? So God's wrath originates there at the throne in heaven against some ungodliness, all ungodliness. That means all ungodly acts against God. And what else? And unrighteousness of men. That's acts against man or men, you know, so forth, who suppress the truth in righteousness. Now listen, God hates sin. He hates sin. He does not, if I hear it all the time, he does not hate the sinner. God loves the sinner. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't hate mankind. God doesn't hate his creation. God wants to save his creation. He wants to save everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come under the knowledge and repentance to our Lord and Savior. Amen? That's what it's all about. See, but man has a choice. You want God's wrath? It's real. His wrath is real. It's continuous. It hasn't really stopped. There's only one way to stop it. You see, man has a choice. You want God's grace? You want the gospel? That's God's grace. Jesus is God's grace. He was full of grace and truth. Amen? Still is. Now listen, or do you want God's wrath? See, the problem is that God is a thrice holy God. God is perfectly righteous, perfect in everything that he does. Man is not righteous. Do you understand? You know, I hear, you know, some people, well, you know, I live a good life. Really? Well, how good are you? If you thought one crummy thought, you didn't live a good life. You lied one lie, you didn't make it. God demands absolute perfect righteousness from man. Are you hearing me? Oh, listen, and then here's the problem. We're not righteous. Romans 3:10, what did Paul write? He says, as it is written, there is none, absolutely none righteous. And then he says, no, not one. Not one person. Think about that. I said, oh, Lord. Now, listen, here's the issue. We are God's creation. Those in Adam have a problem. They're not saved. All in Christ, they are saved. But the thing is this, we have to have a righteousness that is so perfect that it will, number one, stand under the scrutiny of God, and number two, that we can stand before God in that kind of righteousness where we will not be judged by God. Can you imagine standing before God in your own righteousness, which is filthy rags? Standing before God, and if you say, well, I lived my own way. I did what I wanted to do. And I mean, you weren't good. You weren't righteous. You weren't right with God. You're under the wrath of God. God can't lie. He loves you, but you didn't want his grace. See, the gospel says, oh, take God's grace. Take the Son who died for you. Take all of those things. See, man has a great problem. God demands from us what we cannot furnish. Perfect, absolute, perfect, pure righteousness. Now, there's our problem. God's going to explain all of that, or Paul is, all the way through. And so what do we do? I mean, how in the world are we going to make it? Well, that's what the gospel does for us. Look back at verse 17. It says, for in it, meaning the gospel again, the righteousness of God is manifested. How? From faith to faith, as it is written. Now he's going to quote Habakkuk 2:4. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just, those that are declared by God to be in right standing with him, the only way it can happen is by faith. It happens from faith to faith. In other words, someone, like on the beach, when I got saved, someone communicated his faith, the gospel, to me, that entered my heart by faith, and I was born again. Amen? One man preaches, another man receives. It's communicated that way, from faith to faith. That's why we are supposed to go spread the good news. We're not supposed to go beat people up with the Bible. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Amen? I don't understand how people just beat up a person that's lost. A lost person, they're lost. They can't act like they're born again. They act like they're lost because they are. Does that make sense? They're sold out to the flesh. They don't know any different. They don't have the Jesus living in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. No. And I say, oh, Lord, I tell you, that righteousness, oh, that's what we need. See, the good news is by faith, not by being good enough, not by working hard enough, you know, not by human merit. We have a salvation that excludes every work. No works. Works can't get you to heaven. Keeping the law can't get you to heaven. You've never kept the law. No one's ever kept the law but Jesus. Amen? No, listen, a salvation that excludes our works but exalts God's grace. So what is the gospel? Well, the gospel offers the sinner, the unbeliever, God's own perfect righteousness, which he can stand in or she can stand in and be in right, listen to me now, and be in right relationship to God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. People are going, Bill, I don't get it. Yes, you do. That's what the gospel did. See, that's what the gospel is all about. It's when you put your faith in what Jesus has done. Jesus alone. Jesus died your death and my death. Jesus took your shame, my shame. Jesus took our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. And by his stripes, we are healed. Amen? He bore it all on the cross. From Adam all the way to the end of the age, he took the sin of the world. God laid it upon him. Now listen to me. You know what happens. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, who never sinned, to be sin for us, hanging upon the cross. Why? It says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Boy, think about it. Whenever you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, I mean, when you come to Christ, you understand the good news. He took your place. You know what? That judicial decision by God, that one-time act, it's not a process. You've heard me teach it 1,000 times here, the doctrine of justification. God declares the believing sinner as though he had never sinned. Amen? In other words, justified. Just if I had never sinned. Why? Because now you are in Christ Jesus, and Jesus is the one who did it all, who kept the law, who walked perfectly before the Lord. He's the one in whom God is well pleased. He did it all, and he did it all for you. That's the gospel. The gospel is Jesus was born, that he went to the cross, that he died for our sins. He was put in a tomb. The stone was rolled away. He was resurrected. He's ascended. He sits at the right hand of God, poured out his blood, and our sins are purged. Every sin, past, present, future, have been completely wiped out in the eyes of God. That's why the mission of Jesus, it says in Romans 5:9, much more than now having been declared righteous or justified by the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, meaning through Jesus. Listen to me. The gospel is man's only hope. There is no other hope. The gospel is man's only hope. You know. After you've been here so many years, you're going to hear the same thing. It's just about me. But I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that day on the beach. Never. You know, I can't talk about it without being emotional. It was so real. It still is real. Dead. I mean, just as deader than a doornail I was. Searching and seeking and sick of it all. I'll never forget that moment. I see it right through my eyes right now. I was young and handsome. And there on that beach, and that old hippie, hey man, you look like you're looking for the truth. I said, I am. I said, what is the truth? He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's my life scripture. Pray with me. I don't even know why I prayed. That was all the preaching there was. You'll know the truth. Truth set you free. That was it. He didn't go into the gospel. He didn't say that I was a sinner. He didn't say I was a low life. He didn't say anything. He just said, you'll know the truth. The truth set you free. I said, how's that going to happen? He said, give me your hand. I gave him my hand. He said, pray. I prayed. When I opened my eyes, I knew I was changed. The gospel changed. That's what happens. You're changed. Why can't we not want to tell everybody about that? Why do we want to keep the gospel in these four walls? Why aren't we taking it, into the highways and the byways and to the hedges everywhere? Why aren't we startling this world? Why aren't we a wonder to this city? I said, oh God, you're so good. Listen, the gospel is man's only hope. Quickly, let's do one thing. Let's turn in your Bible to just one page over to chapter 3. Watch this now. And look at verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God, that's what we're talking about, apart from the law, is manifest. It's revealed, being witnessed by the law, the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Here it comes. Through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and to all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, being justified what? Being justified, just as if declared righteous by God. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ. It says freely. That means without one cost to you. You can't earn it. You can't beg for it. You can't, oh Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No. The only thing you can do, only one thing you can do, the gospel, is believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. And God says, I'll save you. That's it. That's incredible. All he wants is your faith. All he wants is you to believe in your heart. And that's when the transformation comes. It says, being justified freely by his grace, his unmerited favor, through the redemption, meaning that you're purchased in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance. God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. And here it is, that he might, meaning God, might be the just and the justifier of the one who simply just has faith in Jesus. Man, that is the gospel. That is the good news. God doesn't compromise his standard. He doesn't condone our sin. He doesn't ignore that we were rebels. He doesn't relax any of his standards on the scriptures. But what he does is this. Rather than dismiss our sin, he sent Jesus to take our sin. God literally sentences himself. Jesus is God. He says, no, I've come. Father, I've come to do your will. Listen to me. If you are a believer, that means you've been justified. I want you to listen to me now. It means that God in heaven has declared you not guilty, and he will never declare you guilty again. I'm talking about your position. If we sin, yes, sometimes we do. What do? We run to the Lord. Lord, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood. Amen? But our position, when God sees us right now, He sees us in Christ. All that Christ is, we're now in him. And when we're in Christ, we're in the one who has kept the law. We're in the one who pleased God in everything that he did. We're in the one who never made a mistake, never made a wrong judgment. We are in our Lord. We are his body now. Do you get that? In other words, that is the glorious gospel. And all that a person has to do to escape hell, to become a new creation, to get out of the grips of the devil, to be removed from the folly and the wickedness of sin, iniquity, and transgression, is to say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. That is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen to me. The gospel, yes, it's an invitation, but God never invited anybody to the altar. God has commanded all men everywhere to what? Repent. To repent. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. It's real. It set me free. It changed my life. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Are you? If you are, listen to me very quickly. The words of our Lord. He says, for whoever is ashamed of me, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming quickly and suddenly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a fire ignites, that you would come down and rend the heavens and shake the nations again, O God. I pray that this summer is a summer of revival. I pray that we take the living word of God that we've just received to the highways, to the byways, that when we're around people, we don't criticize them. We don't put them down. We just say, let me tell you about the gospel. Let me tell you what the gospel means. Oh God, raise this church up. Raise the sheep of your pasture up in this house. Let there be a supernatural cleansing occur from the pulpit all the way to the nursery, oh God. Let us really start walking in a newness of life. Oh God, send revival. Send your Holy Spirit into this house, the manifested presence of the living God. Help us, oh Lord. And I pray this morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I ask you a question. I say this tenderly. I say it in love. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Are you trying to earn his love? Are you trying to earn your way to heaven? Are you trying to keep a set of rules to get to heaven? It won't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But if you don't know Christ, if you'll believe the gospel right now, you'll become a new creation. He'll save you. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, listen, if that's you, and if you're not a Christian, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, why don't you just simply lift your hand and put it right back down and just say, Bill, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I want to be a Christian. If that's you, just do it quickly. If you're an unbeliever, just do it. Don't walk out of here unless you're saved. Last call. If that's you, stick that hand up and put it right back down and we'll pray. You don't have to come to the altar. Well, Lord, I believe that we must all be saved. And if that is true, I'm so thankful. We love you, Lord. We don't want to be a dead church. We don't want to be a faithless church. We want to be a loving church that spreads the good news of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your sheep. Touch their every need. Reassure them. Refresh them. And as they're sent on their way, oh Lord, let them rejoice. Let them know that they are justified as if they had never sinned. We love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says,
Pastor Bill will continue our study from Romans when we return on Monday, and we hope you'll join us again. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you with a great weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.